Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. Have you been inspired?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. I guess I wonder why I'm up here other than to just have a Thanksgiving prayer and a benediction and we'll go to the schoolhouse. We have certainly been blessed in many ways. And let's just stand and stretch our legs again and excuse me. And sing the chorus. He is here, hallelujah. So we greet you in the blessed name of Jesus. It's certainly been a blessing to be here and listen to the message that was brought to us by this group of people from Mission Home. Had an additional blessing. I see the image of my friend and brother in Christ, Ina Stutzman. And I spent several weeks with him years ago. And so I'm so glad to see Galen and his wife and everybody else. Everybody that's here, we praise God for his goodness, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you often think when you get a weak moment and it seems like things don't go well, do you often think of, well, where's my joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's certainly, I praise God for his goodness this morning. And it's a blessing to be here. And we just want to give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. We have certainly been blessed. And if you weren't in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's Day, like John tells us, you certainly must have got some of it in this presentation. God doesn't want our lives to be reservoirs. He wants all of us to do exactly what this group did this morning and just pass it on. He wants our lives to be channels. And y'all don't know how much I concentrated on that song this morning, last night and studying and this morning and wanting to come and just present myself to God that he would use me as a channel through which we can bless others. We certainly have experienced that. And so John says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God or the sons of God, the daughters of God. And he says, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Realize what for impression that God wants us to make in our world today. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because they knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it is not yet does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. May we certainly just listen to God as he says, Jesus stepped up the last day of the feast, and he says, I'm going to have to turn to that in John chapter 7, where he says, that in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this he spake of the Spirit, which that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So God is doing everything. And we just, I don't know how many regrets you have in your lives. I have some regrets. And as I listen to this group presenting the gospel in song and the joy and expounding in the hallelujah, praise the Lord. And many years ago, at a minister's meeting, the ministers encouraged us as ministers from the congregation to tithe 10% of our youth, our people, for BS service. In my 40 years of ministry, I regret that we were not able to do that. But I certainly praise God for those who did respond. Just as our brother Jonathan mentioned, there's needs there. And I believe from what I've experienced with our sons being in service like that, it is a very special time in their lives. And so, May young people just give some thought, and may the parents take heed in some of this as well. Forgive me for saying that. I just couldn't hardly keep it back. So, what do? We need to develop a set of values based on biblical principles. You know, let me just ask the question, What are your values? What do you value most? What is most important in your life? You know, 100 years from now, probably the things that we thought were really important, absolutely, positively, undeniably important, they're not going to be important. Everything we have in this life, if we're building only for time, it's going to fade. It's going to go away. But if we're building for eternity, our investment will pay eternal dividends. Have you ever thought of that? A man concerned primarily about material things came to Jesus one day and says, "Master, tell my brother that he should divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus answered this way. He says, "Beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things he has." Those things, that stuff that we accumulate over a number of years. I told my wife not long ago, we need to just simply empty out that storage building we have. Get rid of that stuff. It's not going to do us any good anymore. Well, anyhow, Jesus was concerned that we think on eternal things. Jesus also said that the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. And so, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of eternity. As I get older, I experience more of that. Things are just not as important as they used to be. And so, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Just don't lay them up there. He says, "But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your heart is, where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your heart this morning? Was your heart really in this program, in this presentation? Are you enhanced? Are you looking forward more for the joys of heaven than you were? Where is your heart this morning? Heart, your heart, you know, can easily be deterred and turned to things that are facing us today. But things should go strangely dim, the songwriter says in the rest of that verse. Things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Where are you investing your time, your talents, your money? How much are you hoarding up for yourselves? You may start some kind of venture, some kind of investment, some kind of decision that you want to make. But I would suggest you first go to Calvary. Go to Calvary at the foot of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. I suppose there's some crosses to take up and go on at Mission Home as well. One thing that I was reminded of that I read concerning Mission Home was a daughter, and I thought Jonathan's going to recall that. She was there, and it was quite soon after Mission Home was purchased by the AMA and the Mission Interest Committee back in 61, I believe. A man, after the first while, came to the administrator, which I guess it was Sanford Yoder at that time, and said, what are you doing? I don't know what you're doing, but my daughter has increased, and she's so happy, and she's so different. What are you doing? I don't know, but keep it up. You know, and God be praised. You know, some type of investment. But let's go to the foot of the cross. Let's meet there with Jesus on our way, whatever we want to do. Stop by the cross and see the anguish and suffering of the Lord Jesus, how he suffered unjustly for your sins and mine. He made the greatest investment. He made the greatest investment that could ever be made. He invested in all eternity. He invested all of heaven. He invested all of himself. And he invested all of God. All that heaven could ever give. He invested in your life and mine. I think sometimes we just go through life a little too casual. And I'm not scolding anybody, please. Understand me correctly. But time is going on. We need to develop a set of values based on biblical principles. And you will discover really what is important as we go through life. Making a life is far more important than making a living. And that's important to make a living as well. But making a life, we need to dedicate ourselves to the cause of something that will outlast us. Making the choices. Give yourself, invest your life in something that will last longer than you will. Jesus, or John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He says, but the world passes away. This stuff is all of the world. But he says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But, brethren and sisters, he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Do you think on those things? I'm sure you do. Some more and some less. Abide forever. Do you want to abide forever? Do the will of God. There's nothing more important than to have the valuable knowledge of knowing God's will. And the most important thing you can do is do God's will. As we go through life, invest your life in doing God's will. You know, in Revelation 22, verse 14, he said, blessed are they which do the commandments of God, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and enter in through the gates into the city. That's just beyond our human mind to think what that's going to be like. But it's going to be terrific. Are we ready for those celestial bodies? You know, it might come sooner than we think. But anyhow, God is still working. Like the songwriter says, he made the stars and the moon and Mars and all that things, but he's still working on me. And I'm so glad he does. Praise his holy name. So, young people, where do you want to invest your life in? There's a lot of things you can invest your life in. There's a lot of things you can choose to do in your life as we pass on this journey through life. You can invest in the banking world. You can invest in the industrial world. You can invest in the agriculture world. But all these things are going to pass away. So invest your life in something that will outlast that. And the adults, parents, we have such a great responsibility to invest our lives in witnessing for Christ, having our daily walk, and can they see Christ on your face? Recently, and I'm not sure where I read it, there was an exclamation, maybe it was at a devotional somewhere. Can they see on your face the joy of the Lord as we go through life? Winning souls. Being concerned about souls. Witnessing for Christ. For these things will outlast the world, outlast us. And, you know, nothing else matters but that which is eternal. The path of the Proverbs writer? I'm not sure exactly. Psalms 4, verse 18, maybe. The path of the just is a shining light, shining more and more unto the perfect day. Shining lights, being lighthouses. And of course, like I said, training children. We have a tremendous responsibility to train our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and present to them by teaching an example, the walk of life that God wants us to follow. Follow in his steps. Careful instruction that leads to genuine understanding is the key to building conviction in the new generation. There's so many things that are attacking our new generation, the young folks, with all this modern technology coming in. Let us take heed. Unless we are governed and led by the Holy Spirit, them things are going to drag us downhill. So let's just remember that. Teaching our children biblical standards is effective only when revealed truth is embraced doctrinally with sincere conviction, demonstrated by consistent practice. And practice must come from conviction developed from doctrine and principles learned from the Holy Word, the truth. God enables us, the parents, to teach them and communicate truth to our children if we apply our heart to it and seek His help. Wisdom and skill must first be learned by the teacher and then practiced. And adults need some practicing and blending their teaching and practicing. But without that, we will not be able to communicate truth to the rising generation. You know, our children are the only possession that we can possibly take along to heaven. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful when we're all there? Do you want to see all your friends in Hallelujah Square? Of course we do. So let's live the true testimony of Jesus Christ and trust Him, knowing that He is, His way is best, and we want to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. That's one of God's purposes for us. I want to tell you a little story at this time. I don't want to make the time too long. Sometimes, you know, there's not a convenient stopping place when the clock says it's time to quit. But anyhow, we'll try and be reasonable. This old man had a favorite song and went something like this: "No house and no land do I possess, but peace and joy and happiness." He loved to sing that song every service when he was had permission to sing that song. No house, no land do I possess, but joy and peace and happiness. As time went on, people kind of got tired of that song, rather weary with it, you know. Every meeting, he would sing that song. And so what did they do? They pooled their resources and bought him a house. So the next service, when the old brother stood up to sing his favorite song, he started out, "No house, no land." But then he broke down and couldn't sing anymore. So he just sat down. The next service, he tried again, but the same thing happened. And then a week later, he got up and he wanted to sing, but he says, "No house." And he started to weep uncontrollably. You know, he no longer had a song. His song had disappeared. When he finally collected himself, gaining the composure, he said, "Take back the house and give me back my song." You know, it's kind of a lesson to me. What is a house if you don't have a song? And what good are material things if you don't have the joy and peace of the Lord in your heart? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Jesus encourages us. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice." And again, I rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. "Let your moderation be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand." We praise Him and bless His holy name. Invest your life in something that will outlast you. Then when all of eternity has rolled back the clock of time for the last time, you can say, "Lord, I have invested my life in the cause of Christ. And here are the jewels. Here are the souls that I bring with me." Are we busy occupying, working for the Lord in His kingdom? You know, this kingdom that in which we live is going to perish. It's going downhill fast. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ is forever. And we can, you know, we have two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of God. And we, you and I, all of us, want to be working in the kingdom of God, a kingdom that will never, never pass away and deteriorate like this kingdom in which we live. And so the joy and peace of God in our heart. You know, when we get to heaven, I'm thinking that God is going to be not going to be nearly as interested in where we come from, but how many souls we have been instrumental in bringing to glory. Paul put it this way: no man lives unto himself, no man dies unto himself. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And we must all give an account before God. So, life is what I was going to say. Anyhow, I can't get the first phrase. And its gold is not the grave. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, was not spoken of the soul. I think you're familiar with that. So anyhow, may the Lord be praised for his goodness, and may we be inspired this morning to move on our journey of life in the fear of God, as Noah did. He listened to the instruction that God gave him, and he moved with fear and built the ark to the saving of his family, to the saving of 8 souls. May we truly move forward and continue on in the work of the kingdom. And someday, sometime, time is going to run out, and we'll be moving on to one of 2 destinations. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's to maintain and stay on that straight and narrow way, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand, we walk each day, hand in hand along the way, walking thus, I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. I look forward to meeting you people personally, and this afternoon, I'm not sure what your plans are, but glad to see everyone here. May the Lord bless you. May we remember this morning service from this group, through this group that we heard for a long, long time. May it inspire us to keep on keeping on. Time is here to close. And for those that can, may you kneel for a closing prayer.